We are joined now by the special teams coordinator of the Edmonton Eskimos, of course, former linebacker for the Green and Gold, AJ Gass joins us. AJ, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing, Jason?
Excellent. So we'll get to special teams in a sec, but we were having a conversation earlier about the cheapest and like most gutless actions in sports. As a former player, what did you feel on the football field was the most gutless or cheap thing a player could do?
Probably grab your groin underneath the pile. That tends to lead to big responses.
Did it happen in your career?
Just once.
Now, did that by chance be the game when you grabbed the helmet of the Calgary player and chucked it 40 yards, or was that a different altercation?
Oh, no, that was it. That was 100% it.
AJ, what about one of those? I think the term is it a cutback block where maybe it was interception, then someone's running to get him, and you don't even see the guy coming, you just run him over? Would that be a non-junk grabbing situation? It's just dirty?
Well, on an interception, I think as long as, you know, I mean, it's live, and that's one of those weird situations on the field where guys are going to get caught off guard because everybody's looking one direction or the other. But as long as it's the block high and above the waist, you know, I think it's fair. But if you go ahead and blindly take a shot at someone's knees, you know, I think that crosses into that, you know, dirty territory.
So when you threw his helmet, did he ever apologize for the groin grab?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, I wouldn't expect him to apologize. You know, I think that grab was a response to me kind of putting my forearm in his neck while I was on top of the pile. So it's all fair play.
Kevin Lestrud, former teammate of yours, an offensive lineman, told us his move in the pile was he would take his finger and at times want to stick it in the defensive lineman's anus to try to get the guy rattled. Did that ever happen to you?
Thank God that never did. Holy smoke.
Like that.
You know what's crazy is Lester wore these big padded gloves too, so it's causing damage.
Jeez. I don't want to win that bet.
AJ Gass joins us. AJ, the special teams the last 3 weeks, really, Martise Jackson has been getting consistent returns more and more. Is that a case of him and the players really getting an understanding of what you're coaching and preaching and what you want on special teams? Is that kind of what you would expect, that it took a while for the units to get comfortable?
Yeah, you know, I think what we do is a little bit different than what they had been doing in the past. So it was a learning process. Martise missed a good chunk of training camp. So, you know, he was kind of playing catch up to the rest of the guys. But I think the biggest thing is the effort by the guys blocking downfield has been exceptional when you watch it on film. Martise is really trusting those guys and, you know, he's really just taking the yardage that they're giving him.
And so when you're the guy, the return guy, and you can see that opening up, are there certain like areas of the field you're trying to get those blocks and he's got to read those to get into those areas? Or is it more just kind of wherever the guy is able to put a block on, then you can make your decision from there?
Well, I think the philosophy we have here is that, you know, it's the returner's job to make all of the blocks downfield good blocks. So he's got a big job in setting those blocks up, knowing which angles to take to ensure that his guys aren't blocking in the back. So it's not just catch the ball and run as fast as you can. You know, there's a process behind it, and I think Martise is really getting comfortable doing that by setting those blocks up.
What are you doing different on special teams specifically from previous years?
Well, I simplified a lot of stuff. I think in the past, when I came in, I looked at some of the, you know, like the weekly manuals and stuff like that was handed out, and it just seemed like there was a lot of overload of things that didn't need to be complicated. Special teams at the end of the day comes down to, you know, winning your one-on-one matchups. You know, you find the guys, you put them on the guys, and at the end of the day, it's just a matter of beating that guy in front of you. I think what they were used to was maybe a little bit more elaborate schemes And when guys usually think, they don't play fast. And my whole deal was just cut it loose and play fast and have fun doing it. And that's what we're seeing.
So when you're saying let the guys play loose and fast, how much trust do you have to put or how much responsibility do they have to take for you opening things up like you have?
Well, again, it all comes down to, you know, we know what we're supposed to do. So everybody in the film room knows exactly who's supposed to block that guy. And when that guy makes the tackle, you know, everybody's holding that other guy accountable. So if we're going to have a standard in a setting like that, you can't try to complicate and confuse guys because it puts them at a disadvantage. So they were up to the challenge. I think it's old school football, how it should be, man on man, and let's see where the chips fall.
AJ Gass joins us, special teams coordinator of the Edmonton Eskimos. AJ, of course, you know, you've been coaching for quite a few years down in the United States at the high school level. You come back to the CFL where, of course, you know it quite well, having played here for so long. But, you know, coaching men compared to younger players, is it been fun for you? What's been the biggest adjustment just from a coaching standard for you?
It is. You know, when you coach high school kids, you spend a lot of time focusing on things other than football. You know, you're focusing on, you know, teaching them how to be on time, how to carry themselves correctly, and little things like that help turn those boys into men. When you get up at this level, you can be a little bit more about technique and skill and matchup. So it was fun to help, you know, help mold kids as they grow up and go through high school. But it's even funner to be up here and really coaching football and having a good time around the guys.
And you know, maybe it's a little bit different as not being the head coach, but you are responsible for an important part of the game. You know, how do you try to balance that fun, but with making sure the guys understand that, you know, field position's massive at any point given in the game?
It is. I think when you make sure that guys understand how vital their role is, and you make it really on par with offense and defense as being a true one third of the game, guys can take pride in that. And when guys take pride in things, they work a little harder, they care a little bit more, and at the end of the day, you see a better result on the field. And, you know, as we're watching film as a group, everybody wants to be that guy making the big play or removing his guy from making a tackle or being the first one downfield to make a tackle. And those are the things that get guys excited in the film room.
AJ Gass, special teams coordinator of the Edmonton Eskimos, joins us. How excited do you get, AJ, as a former defensive player, watching defensive schemes of the Eskimos right now?
Oh, it's awesome. You know, I sat in with the defensive guys, you know, in our coaches' meetings in the off season. I think we came up for probably 17 days and sat together, and it was really awesome knowing the type of style we were going to play. And then when you evaluate the players that we have and how they fit that style, it's just awesome to watch.
Do you sit in on defensive or offensive meetings at all during the season, or do you have time as the special teams coordinator?
Off and on, I'll sit in with the defensive meetings. I haven't done any real offensive stuff, but I've sat in on some defensive stuff just because, you know, it's comfortable, it's what I know, and it's fun to watch. The thing I do with our special teams is I coach them with a defensive mentality. So even in our return game, it's all about, you know, seeing who could get the big hit, seeing who can drive their guy into the ground, who can be more physical. And those are all the things that we talk about, or they talk about in the defensive room as well.
AJ, when you played, you were very emotional. You know, obviously I've known you for a long time, listening to you talk. You're a very emotional guy. As a coach, do you find players, defensive players specifically, gravitate to wanting their coach to be a little bit more excitable and emotional? Does that fit well with the personality of most defensive players and a lot of the guys who play special teams?
I think it does. I think that, you know, offensive emotion and things like that really come from the big play. It's hard to get very emotional on a 6-yard run or a 5-yard run, but when you get that big play, that big spark play, a touchdown, that you see that emotion come from offensive guys. Defensively, you got to come out and be emotional from the get-go because you never know what's going to happen. And I think when you have that mindset on defense and special teams, you know, you take the field with a little bit more swag.
Rick Campbell, I remember when I talked to him when he got hired as the head coach, and he worked in a lot. He was a running backs coach. He was a defensive back coach. He was a special teams coordinator. It felt like learning all those positions helped him. And I know, you know, every coach has aspirations to want to move up and be a special teams coordinator, maybe defensive coordinator, then potentially a head coach. Having been a head coach at lower levels, is that kind of your goal and your expectation? And is one of the reasons why you're sitting in on the defensive thing is just to keep your mind fresh and understanding how they're doing that, and then, you know, whether a door opens down the road that, you know, you could move up the coaching ranks?
You know, for right now where I'm at, I love what I'm doing. I'm not trying to use what I'm doing right now as kind of a stepping stone to something else. I'm all about focused on what we're doing right here, right now. We got a lot of room to get better on special teams. So before I start gravitating and focusing on other things, I got my hands full trying to get this ship heading in the right direction. But, you know, down the road, who knows? I just know that you never stop learning, and the more you can soak up from different people, the better coach you're going to be in general.
As a special teams player, when you have a returner in Jackson who doesn't hesitate and has been seeming to gain momentum more and more, I assume that just makes the guys even more excited because they think, hey, if I make my block, there's a good chance that he could spring this 10 yards, 20 yards, 40 yards, and then ultimately maybe take it all the way to the house. Is it easier to motivate or get your guys to buy in when you've got a threat as a return guy? Like, I know that, you know, obviously you want every return guy to be a threat, but they're not all threats. Jackson seems to be a legit threat. Does that change the mindset of guys when they're blocking?
It does, you know, and I think that what we found is these guys are really not wanting to let each other down. So Martise, he wants to do everything he can to set the blocks up, to make the blocks good on his end, and then our blockers are heading downfield, not wanting to have their guy tackle Martise, so they're doing everything they can to be in the right position. And when you have both of those things working together, you know, big return yards happen. And I think for us right now, we set a goal for a 15-yard average on punt return, which usually should lead a league. And, you know, for the past 3 weeks, we've been right around that mark. So it's, you know, it's exciting to see the trust that both sides have with one another.
A.J. Gass joining us, Edmonton Eskimos special teams coordinator. A.J., you talk about both the returner and the blockers not wanting to let each other down, you know, in each play, in each opportunity they have to get on the field. How do you get that to start?
Well, you basically, you know, when I came in, I put everything on the returner. It wasn't going to be, you know, the guys blocking that makes things happen. It's going to be the returner. The returner has, you know, five or six different rules that he has to follow. He's mandated to do these things. And when you do that, it basically, it lets the guys in front of him, you know, kind of play at ease a little bit so they can be a little bit faster. Play a little bit more aggressive at times instead of saying, like, it's, you know, you got to block, or else we can't get anything. So we put a lot of it on the returner and then, you know, built from there. And I think a lot of times it's the opposite way. You got to make a perfect lane for the returner to score a touchdown. And we just flipped the script a little bit and said, it's all on the returner. It's his job to make you 11 correct instead of it's 11 for one.
AJ, always good to catch up with you. Best of luck. The rivalry, Battle of Alberta, a rarity where it happens before Labor Day. But I know talking to the players, it's big. Everybody knows the rivalry. You can't even wear red shoes or red shirts the week leading up to that game. How excited are you to get back in the Battle of Alberta rivalry?
I'm fired up. You know, I do what I can, you know, once that game happens and it's between the lines, I just become a fan at that point. You know, there's nothing I can do physically about it. I just hope our guys go out and kick ass.
AJ, always good to catch up to you, man. Appreciate your time.
All right, thank you.
AJ Gass.